Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
750 WTIC. So you want to start here?
Yeah, let's bring in our friend Jim Bergen, bon vivant, raconteur, partner at Chipman and Goodwin.
It's you.
Waking up early in the morning to join us on a holiday. Good morning. How are you?
Good. I got to get that bon vivant onto my website.
I like that.
You know what? We have web people who can help you with that. So.
If they feel like it, if they're working.
So now, Jennifer Dulos' mom will get a mental health evaluation. How did this come up?
Well, those are very standard in any divorce. You have global psychological evaluations upon request of either party, because the judge has to make every decision based on the best interests of the children.
Okay.
And of course, each of the parents' advocates are going to tell them how wonderful they are and how nuts the other one is. So you want to have somebody who's independent who can evaluate this. So that part is standard. Of course, in this case, everything seems to come out different than standard, and there are some pretty aggressive assertions about her well-being. She had been, you know, the grandma had been hospitalized and all that. But the response is very bold. Like, hey, we're fine. Come on. We'll come in. You too.
Yeah.
So that may end up being where it goes, because judges obviously want to make decisions based on the best facts. So it wouldn't surprise me if that there is a mutual psychological evaluation. And then, naturally, he would have a Fifth Amendment privilege, so he may end up getting right back into the same corner he's in.
At this point, who has custody of the kids?
Grandma's.
Okay. And Draganis? Draganis?
Yeah.
Draganis? Yeah, she said...
Draganis is her... her counsel, and who's okay. Very capable.
Okay.
She's a retired family judge herself.
Okay.
And, a leader of the law and all. She's
okay.
Quite good.
I know I've asked you this before, Jim, but does this thing stay in limbo till there's substantial evidence?
Well, they have, yeah. It could be until you and Ray are retired.
Well, if management's here at listening to today's show, then the courts will go
nice
to trial tomorrow.
You, nice knowing you.
Well, seriously, there is no urgency in terms of statute of limitations on a homicide, all right? Now, on the other hand, the defense is pressing, we got to get the evidence you have. You're not giving us the evidence, and you're charging us with subordinate crimes, derivative crimes, to the homicide. You're
right.
Saying we're interfering with the crime, etc. Well, what's the crime? It is an interesting situation. Technically, the state is fine the way it is. They can prosecute this case through conclusion just with
tough.
The pending cases, you know, the D and C felonies, or C and D felonies.
Right.
Which is plenty. But I don't think they really are going to do that. I think at some point you got to get off the pot, so to speak.
All right. We're talking with Jim Bergen from Chipman and Goodwin. This caught our eyes, and really the real reason we wanted to get you on is last week, federal court judge Stephen Underhill ruled that Connecticut's 11 former death row inmates can now sue the state for causing them cruel and unusual punishment.
Wow.
When they were resentenced to highly restrictive life terms.
Yeah, and first of all, that judge, chief federal judge, again, highly regarded. I think you'd find lawyers from every different stripe speak well of him. And he just simply focused on what is the case. You're not allowed to have cruel and unusual punishment. That's easy. But what is cruel and unusual?
Right.
Well, a growing body of science is telling us that it is not normal to treat someone to have no human contact at all. Their
right.
human contact is greatly restricted. He speaks to basically when they have visits, it's only through the plate glass. They only
right.
get out in half hour here and half hour there.
Right.
And it does break people down. So we are allowed to punish people by taking their liberty. We're allowed to restrict their lives. But the idea, once you now know that you're really screwing somebody up, that's past punishment. And I think that's what the judge said, and the AG's office is taking its time because this isn't so easy.
Well,
it's not that simple.
And in this case, Jim, they're in their cells most of the day. You're right, limited visitation. A number of things, though. But I remember when the debate was going on the death penalty before all this was, you know, one of the arguments was, hey, you know, being killed obviously is a terrible thing, being executed. But it might be even worse if you're locked in a cell and life in prison and all that. You know, Diana Urban, I can't think who else was into Edith Prague, I think was one. And, you know, they're saying this would be worse than death. And in this case, I would say that may be true.
Yes, but this is different. What Stefan Underhill is saying, the chief judge, is saying that being confined for the rest of your life is bad. Being confined in solitary, where you're out for 2 15-minute periods to eat lunch and allowed to take a 15-minute shower, that is not just being confined. That solitary confinement is unnecessary for safety. And at that point, it becomes torturous if you're charged with knowledge of the reasonable consequences of what you do. That's a basic tenet of law. And since once we know that this is studied to break mental people down mentally.
Oh, what? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now we say, okay, look, you're in for life. You're never getting out. But we're not going to torture you. That's sort of where this is probably heading.
I will say this, when you look at people like Stephen Hayes and Commissar Jeske, nobody's going to have sympathy for them.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about our country, which seems often to be forgotten, is that it's not governed by sympathy. It's governed by law. It's a constitution. Everybody has a constitutional right, and we're all allowed to hate him. We're all allowed to not like him, but we're not allowed to torture him.
All right.
Okay. And well, for example, this came up because the reason when they left the death penalty in effect for the people who before Hayes and Commissar Jeske, they were already sentenced and they were awaiting death, which may or may not happen. Who knows? But then it was going forward, then there wouldn't be a death penalty. So I imagine that was grounds for a complaint, too.
Yes, that's all been resolved now.
I know.
So they're there. They're going to be, but they will be beneficiaries of this litigation involving this one guy who doesn't evoke a lot of sympathy himself.
Who's that, Russell Peeler?
Any of these guys who are on death row are the last people to get this guy's. Richard Reynolds is the one who is.
Oh, that's right. I see it. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all. They are the least. Sympathetic people alive. But the problem is that's what law means. Law defends all humanity for some basics. It doesn't mean that they get to go to, you know, some nice camp. It just means you can't torture. You can keep them confined, but you can't torture them. And of course, that's not the state's intention to torture. You know, that's where the experts are going to have to come in and talk about what the consequences.
It's kind of a living death, actually, is what they're doing now.
Yeah, but it's actually, in some ways, a little bit worse than living death.
Right.
You know, unless it's a torturous demise, you know, we all imagine our death being instantaneous, but this is a slow mental breakdown.
Yes, exactly.
That's kind of cool.
Now, where is this next step? Does the AG look at it?
Yes. The AG is actually providing the legal services for the named defendants, that is, the people at the Department of Corrections who are required to house these people. They're just doing what they think they're supposed to do, and the AG has got to defend them, and the AG now has to examine not only defending them, but they have to examine the Constitution.
Right.
And frankly, these people don't get a lot of attention, and Stefan Underhill, as a result of this clinic from Columbia Law School, apparently, that's my alma mater, there's this clinic of people who just noticed something that nobody else is paying attention to.
Okay, right, Jim, we got to go. Thank you.
Thanks for being on.
All right.
Thanks for laboring on Labor Day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.